If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business, especially in today's economy. But over 31,000 businesses do know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, August 12th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. New rules protecting your privacy online could be on their way. On Thursday, the Federal Trade Commission said it would begin considering federal regulations around data collection and storage by tech companies. Now, creating and implementing any new rules won't be quick, but what the FTC comes up with could be stricter than laws that Congress is considering. On today's show, our reporter John McKinnon joins us to discuss what these rules could look like and why they're already facing criticism. That's after these headlines. Electric vehicle maker Rivian last night reported a quarterly net loss of $1.7 billion, nearly triple what it was during the same period last year. The maker of battery-powered SUVs and trucks said its revenue for the second quarter was around $364 million due to increased production and deliveries of its first three models. But the wider losses will put pressure on the company to conserve cash and fill customers' orders quickly. Rivian said it produced about 4,400 cars last quarter. That figure will need to more than double in the next two quarters to meet the company's production target for the year. A ruling by the European Court of Justice could force companies to treat a broader array of personal information as sensitive. Under the European Union's General Data Protection Regulation, information about health, religion, political views, and sexual orientation are considered sensitive. But the ECJ ruled earlier this month that Lithuanian officials had their sensitive data breached by having their spouses' names published online, which could indicate their sexual orientation. Experts say the decision could have far-reaching implications because any data that could be used to infer sensitive information could be seen as protected by the court. We'll talk about some potential new U.S. rules around online data privacy later in the show. We report exclusively that United Airlines has put down a $10 million deposit for 100 electric flying taxis. It's a sign of faith in the budding air taxi industry, though the aircraft haven't been approved by regulators to carry passengers. Last year, United and a regional airline it partners with invested in the flying taxi company Archer Aviation and struck a preliminary agreement to buy up to 200 of its aircraft. Other airlines have also invested in flying taxi startups, which take off vertically and could help zip people around congested cities. And was the last ad you saw actually written by a bot? A growing number of marketers are turning to artificial intelligence to generate ideas for advertising campaigns. AI can pull together information from social media and market research and use it to come up with ad copy or other marketing materials. Travel site Kayak and Dollar Shave Club both recently turned to AI to come up with new ads. And WSJ reporter Patrick Coffey says the trend is likely here to stay.
The primary benefit for marketers lies in efficiency because, along with AI, they can produce things like brand strategy briefs that could have taken days or weeks with only humans involved. So both marketers and advertising agency executives say they think that its use will increase dramatically for most brands at some point who are looking to come up with creative ideas. But at the same time, there always needs to be a human touch to finesse the material and make sure that it's fit for public consumption.
All right, coming up, regulators are considering new rules on data privacy. But even before they've been written, they're being met with criticism. We'll discuss why after the break.
Your organization is only as resilient as its people. We give you the clarity and confidence to make work, work for everyone. Aon is in the business of better decisions.
The the Federal Trade Commission is launching an effort to expand online privacy protections. The regulator is getting the ball rolling on a process to create new rules targeting online surveillance and lax data security practices by tech companies. At a press conference on Thursday, FTC Chair Lina Khan spoke about why the agency was taking this step.
The FTC, for many years, over two decades now, has really been on the front lines of using our existing enforcement tools to combat privacy violations and data security breaches. But we've seen now that the growing and continuing digitization of our economy means that some of these practices may now be prevalent, and that case-by-case enforcement may fail to adequately deter lawbreaking or remedy the resulting harms.
When the rules do come out, they could fundamentally change the way our data is gathered and used by tech companies. But while this is just the beginning of the process, the rules are already facing criticism. Joining us to discuss why that is and what that could mean for our life online is WSJ reporter John McKinnon. Hi, John. Thanks for being here.
Nice to be with you.
So let's start with, you know, this is early days for the rulemaking process, but can you kind of lay out what the goal for these rules is going to be?
Well, the big goal is to just first figure out if there is a real problem here in the online environment that the FTC needs to address. So they're going to be taking a lot of input and comment from the public and from businesses and from advocacy groups to try to figure out the extent of the problems. There are two main problems here that they're trying to get at. One is whether people's privacy is really being violated in some meaningful way by all of the data collection and targeted advertising and surveillance that goes on the internet. And the second issue is the question of whether people's data is being handled in a way that makes it vulnerable to hacking and, you know, all the problems like identity theft that flow from that.
You know, for people who aren't as familiar with the FTC and its processes, how far could this rulemaking go? I mean, I realize now they're just kind of looking at the extent of the problem, but were they to make rules, how extensive could they be?
Well, they could ultimately go pretty far. I mean, they've gotten petitions from advocacy groups calling on them to, for example, just ban surveillance advertising. In other words, individualized, targeted advertising on the internet. These groups say, you know, this is an invasion of privacy and it leads to all kinds of abuses, and therefore we ought to just get rid of it.
Yeah, I guess that gets to my next point. I mean, who would be most impacted if there were any changes here?
Definitely social media companies' use of algorithms to target content to their users is one big area that could be affected. But the biggest of all is certainly advertising. I mean, and you're already hearing sort of an outcry from industry groups that are concerned that the advertising economy could be upended by this because it's so dependent on people's data.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about that criticism, because the FTC just announced on Thursday that it was going to be making these changes, and already there's been some criticism. What are critics upset about?
Well, certainly the business community is concerned that this is going to have, you know, tremendous impacts on their advertising economy. And then you also are hearing from people like the Chamber of Commerce that this is basically something that is the purview of Congress more than the FTC, and that the FTC just doesn't have the authority to do some of the things that they're going to be considering.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to Congress, you know, that was something that one of the commissioners, Rebecca Slaughter, raised at the press conference on Thursday.
Until there's a law on the books, the commission has a duty to use all the tools we have under current law to address unlawful behavior. I see our efforts as complementary, not an alternative to congressional legislation.
How are skeptics reacting to that? And how could these rules be complementary?
Well, there is a concern that the FTC is going to do something that is effectively going to discourage Congress from acting. So, I mean, it's hard enough for Congress to really do anything. And once you have, you know, other government agencies trying to do things that are pretty much the same thing that Congress is trying to do, Congress has a tendency, some people say, to just stop trying to do the things that it's doing. Congress has been considering privacy legislation for, you know, years, but in the last 6 months or so, it's really gotten some momentum, and a comprehensive privacy bill actually passed the House Commerce Committee a few weeks ago, which is an extraordinary step. I mean, I don't think that had ever really happened before. And now you have the FTC trying to do essentially the same thing. So there's, you know, some concern, I think, that this FTC action is going to tend to sap some of the momentum in Congress for doing legislation. And advocates, I think, particularly in the business community, are worried that the FTC would go a lot further and do a lot of things that Congress would really never muster the political will to do.
Okay, but time and time again on this show, when we talk about a law that Congress is debating putting into place when it comes to tech, everybody tells me that, like, it's kind of a wait and see game and it's hard to get Congress to agree on anything. So how realistic is it that this privacy bill turns into a law?
I can't really give you odds, but it is definitely true that, you know, Congress has gotten further in the last 6 weeks than it's really ever gotten before. So, yeah, it's hard to say that this would happen this year, but it's very possible that it could happen in the next year or so. And so I think that's one reason why the FTC commissioners today were very careful to say, you know, what we're trying to do is only complementary to what Congress is trying to do, and we're not trying to, you know, usurp or supplant them.
All right. That's our reporter, John McKinnon. Thanks for joining us, John.
You bet. Thank you.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. We had production assistance from Ariana Osperu. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
Welcome to Free Expression, a new podcast from The Wall Street Journal with me, Jerry Baker, editor-at-large of The Wall Street Journal. It's a podcast in which we're going to be trying to do something a little different, dig a little deeper into the issues behind the headlines that are in the news all the time. So please join me for my new podcast, Free Expression, with Jerry Baker at The Wall Street Journal. We're very much looking forward to really having some fascinating conversations, and I very much hope you'll join us.